Mr. Mosbach.
Thanks, Jennifer, and thanks, everybody, for being here this morning. And I started off my public health career as a research analyst and then later grew into understanding and appreciating policy and advocacy and communications. And so now my passion is really doing research to support the policymaking process, and I think this is a good example of that kind of research here today. So this project was done on behalf of the Oregon Public Health Institute, and they contracted with me to do the survey and the study. And I have no relationships to disclose here. And I want to thank the major funder for this project was Kaiser Permanente Community Benefit and the Heart and Stroke Association, Tobacco Free Coalition of Oregon, and Upstream Public Health, which is based in Portland, Oregon, also provided funding. So I don't think any of you would be here if you didn't agree with the first bullet here that policy change has the potential to improve population health. And I think in many public health areas, we know which policies we need to implement to improve health. But what we don't know as much about is how to get those policies implemented. And again, that's what this survey of Oregon legislative staff is, I think, will help with us today. So we first did this survey in 2011 and then repeated it in 2013. And my talk today is going to be mostly about the results from this latest round of surveys in 2013. So we went down to the state capitol near the end of the legislative session and went into each of the 90 offices and said that, you know, we're here from the Oregon Public Health Institute. We want to do a survey of legislative staff on health policy issues. Can we talk to the staff person most involved with health policy? And in Oregon, most legislators only have one or two staff, so it's usually the person you're talking to at that point. And then I got their contact information and asked to call them back in the summer to do a telephone survey. So one of the reasons we did surveying legislative staff as opposed to legislators themselves is we think we'd get a much higher response rate with the staff. And you can see here we did get a very good response rate of 76%. The response rate was a little bit higher for Democratic staffers than Republican staffers. The average survey, again by telephone, took about 16 minutes. And we, at the very end, we asked for permission to call back with another survey, and there's large support for that. So if there's funding and interest, we may be able to do a follow-up survey with these folks. And as I go through these results, I think you'll learn something about how to communicate with policymakers and their staff. But I also want to get people to understand that this is a study that you could do in your state. So think about that, whether you could find funding and interest to do this kind of study with your state legislator or other policymakers. So how important are obesity and tobacco as health issues? We know that these are the two leading preventable causes of death, and the legislative staffers basically agree that over 99% say that each of tobacco and obesity are very important or somewhat important. And the next question we asked was, which was more important, obesity or tobacco prevention? And despite the epidemiological evidence that tobacco remains the leading preventable cause of death, more legislative staff thought that obesity was more important than tobacco. And you will find this result also true among surveys of the general population. So one of the big critical issues in pushing public health policies is the understanding of, is health an individual responsibility or is it a community responsibility? For this question, we asked, which of the following statements comes closest to your point of view? And you can see here that there's a slightly more staffers said that community had more responsibility. And this question had the biggest Democrat-Republican divide among any of the questions we asked. About 80% of Republican staffers say that it's an individual responsibility, and about 80% of Democratic staffers say it's a community responsibility. There was a farm-to-school bill in this last legislative session that passed with about $1 million worth of funding to get schools around the state to serve locally produced farm products to students. And we asked what was the most important reason the legislature funded these farm-to-school programs. These are the four closed-end responses we gave them, and the majority did say that it was to help children to get better nutrition. But up to 38% did say one of the things related to economic development, either that the farm-to-school programs will create jobs or will create a market for Oregon agricultural products. And this is a finding that you'll see in a lot of the questions is this emphasis on economics and also, reducing healthcare costs. There, every year there's a bill in the Oregon legislature to increase tobacco taxes, and it usually doesn't pass. And we ask, why did the tobacco tax bills not pass this session? And the basic summary is that any tax bill, tobacco or otherwise, is hard to pass. And the tobacco lobby is very powerful. There needed to be at least a few Republican votes to pass this tax, and those votes weren't there. Near the end of the session, the tobacco tax got rolled up in what they called the grand bargain. It was included school funding, some tax reform, public employee retirement reform, and that didn't pass. So that's basically why the tobacco tax didn't pass. I will add that there was a special session in Oregon about a month ago where that grand bargain did pass, and the tobacco tax was part of that. It was only 14 cents, so it probably will have a fairly negligible impact on public health. So we asked if each of these statements was a very good or poor reason to support a tobacco tax increase. And you can see here their listed order in the rankings. The two top reasons were either protecting children, preventing children from starting to smoke, or decreasing healthcare costs. Again, this is a major interest in policymakers, is reducing healthcare costs. We asked, what does health equity mean to you? And it was very consistent, the responses. 81% mentioned only healthcare. So it was usually something like, healthcare access for everyone, regardless of their background. And 12% did mention culturally competent healthcare. So once you have access to healthcare, your healthcare provider is providing you care that's in response to, your culture and your background and is effective in that sense. When people did mention things, the 20% of folks who did mention things in addition to healthcare, the two most common ones were access to healthy food and broader definitions of health. Like you can see here, equal opportunity for healthiness for all, or some people mentioned, equality in health outcomes. There was two staffers who mentioned things sort of related to social terms of health. One said pain and living wage, and one mentioned environmental justice. Again, the bottom line here is that people see health as access to health care. So in addition to using terms like everybody or all people regardless of background, sometimes specific population descriptions were given. So people would say, access to health care for everyone regardless of income. So you can see income and race were the most likely specific populations to be mentioned, and then socioeconomic status, sexual orientation, and geography were less. So where do legislative staff get their information about health policy issues? This was an open-ended question. You can see that the general media, things like newspapers, magazines, sometimes people just said the general media, was most common, along with lobbyists and advocates. There's a lot of talk at the Capitol, among legislators and their staff. A lot of people get their information there. And if somebody was not on the health committee, they often said, they get information from staff from the health committee. The State Health Agency, the Oregon Health Authority, was the next most common. And you can see, very low on the list is things like journal studies and research, or even testimony and committee hearings. So breaking down the media responses again, the only thing here that's really health-related is the Lund Report, which is a local online publication focusing on health and our health policy in Oregon. It's kind of an insider's publication, and the rest are really general publications, newspapers, the Oregonian, which is the big statewide newspaper in Oregon. On the other hand, the most trusted sources of health policy info, number one was the Oregon Health Authority, again, this the state agency where the Oregon Public Health Division resides. And most of the things on this list are either government or nonprofit organizations involved with health. So this is good news for public health, is that we may not be getting our information to the legislators and their staff as much as we should, but when it gets there, it's trusted by a lot of the legislative staff. So some of the other findings from the survey, just some quick background. In Oregon, we have these new our health system organizations called coordinated care organizations. And they deliver care to Medicaid clients. It's similar to the accountable care organizations in the Affordable Care Act, but this is specific to Oregon and specific to Medicaid. And they are stated to try to be reaching the goals of the triple aim, you know, better health, better care, reduced costs. But legislative staff only define success in terms of reduced costs. So there is some, you know, rhetoric out there about, you know, paying attention to population health, and that's part of the triple aim goal. But really, the bottom line for the policymakers is still reducing healthcare costs. We asked a question about health impact assessments, and there's really very low awareness of that. Even in Oregon, where we've had about a dozen health impact assessments have been done, it's Oregon's, you know, per capita, Oregon has more health impact assessments than any state, but there's very little awareness of that among the state policymakers. And national health groups, it's not too surprising that national health groups like Heart, Lung, and Cancer, Diabetes Association, are more well-known than local groups, but they also have higher favorability ratings than the local groups. And also interesting, the Democrat-Republican divide is much less on the national groups than on the local groups. So if you're a public health advocacy campaign, having, you know, the Heart Association, the American Cancer Society on your team could be very valuable for reaching many of these legislative offices. And then most of the constituent contact that comes into these offices comes in response to campaigns organized by advocacy groups. I didn't ask a question about how effective these were, but there was offhand comments about, you know, we get a lot of contact, but it's not really effective. But I think it does get people talking. It builds awareness when there's a lot of people calling, even if they're all saying the same script that the advocacy campaign has told them to say. So some conclusions here. First, you know, the importance of prevention is really well recognized. And in fact, you know, and I try to use the word prevention much more than public health when talking to people outside the public health community. Because it's a concept that people get. They may think of it more in terms of access to preventive care than community-based preventive services, but prevention is recognized and supported. The role of community or government versus individual responsibility is, you know, there's much more of a divide there. And for people interested in, you know, obesity and tobacco, it's important to note that despite the epidemiologic data, that obesity is seen as more important than tobacco. And again, a really common theme is the economic benefits, that can be a very persuasive argument and sometimes the only thing that legislators are thinking about. This often includes estimates of reduced healthcare costs, but also other things like the Farm to School program, creating jobs and helping economic development in rural areas with farms. So I think we need to always be thinking about the economic argument for improving health. And then I think it's clear that health, that is healthcare, is going to continue to be an important issue at the legislature. So that's the in for public health to come in. It's like, you're interested in healthcare. We can tell you how to reduce costs by doing community-based prevention activities like getting junk foods out of schools or increasing the tobacco tax or smoke-free environments. Again, the non-public health media is a very common source of information, and so we need to figure out how to leverage that. When there's something in the news related to health, figure out how we can get our, you know, community-based prevention activities highlighted in those articles, and be aware that this is how people are seeing health, is what they're reading in the general media. But government agencies and nonprofits are very trusted sources of information, and we can leverage that opportunity more, I think. And then there's a couple things around messaging, around, you know, that individuals make choices to improve their health. You know, half the folks think that that's the most important thing. We need to move that understanding to community environments have great influence over those choices. And again, healthcare is important and costs a lot of money. We need to move that to the understanding that community-based prevention is a cost-effective way to reduce those costs. So I'm presenting these results to different groups around Oregon and getting good response, and at national conferences like this, hope to do a publication. Again, I'm hoping you think about translating this project to your state, and I'd be happy to talk to you about that. Here's my contact information. You can reach me. I'll be here after the talk as well. You can reach me by email. And thanks very much for your attention today.